Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your stations.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my
signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't want anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
That's right, folks. You heard correctly. We're back with another episode of Resistance Reactions, and we are going to have a fun one today. I am your co-host, Aaron Harris, and joining me is my wingman.
Hey, everybody, look who it is. Oh, you know who it is.
That's right, folks. It's David Modders. David, how you doing?
Good, buddy. I'm ready to fly. How about you?
I am doing great, my friend. Doing great. I am excited to talk about this episode tonight. We're recording at night, but whenever you're listening, this is going to be a fun discussion on the Hightower, which, depending on if you count the first episode, the recruit has two episodes or not, it's either the fifth episode or the fourth episode. I count it as a fourth, but because I count recruit as one. But this is going to be a great discussion. I am looking very forward to this. David, how's your week gone since I talked to you last?
Pretty good, buddy. I've had a lot of fun with watching this new episode, reading the emails from our two tormentors, and that we'll hear later on. But no, it's just been a good Star Wars week. I even got out my visual encyclopedia again to help with David's Alien Corner. So it's been a good week. It's been a good week.
Perfect. Excellent. Happy to hear that. Yeah, it's been a good week here too. Just keeping busy and enjoying this episode a ton. It's been fun. It was fun to see it kick up a notch. So I don't think we should delay any further. I think we should just go right in and start our discussion on the Hightower. All right, David, what were your first thoughts when you sit down and watched the Hightower?
Yeah, I first thing I thought about is the plot thickens. This is, I was looking forward to this, getting Captain Doza in more. It was really interesting to see him getting squeezed by the First Order, particularly Major Von Rigg and the two First Order troopers there. I had a little side note about Captain Doza. I thought this was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw this in the end credits. You and I are always looking at who does the voices, And Captain Doza's real name, Captain Doza, lives in the Hightower. And his real name is Jason, wait for it, Hightower. So I was looking at that. I'm like, oh my god! I'm sure Aaron saw this, but I just a little side note. Yeah, so Jason Hightower, who does the voice of Captain Doza, is in the Hightower. I thought it was really neat to see the Aces Lounge. I wonder about, like, when I mentioned the plot thickens. There's that accusation by Major Von Rigg about him dealing with the underworld. I'm curious to see what that is going to be all about. Another initial thought was it was really neat to see the introduction of Hype Faison and kind of the learning aspects there. You and I have consistently talked about this in previous episodes, just what is it that Kaz needs to learn, and that's good for the kids. So there's a lot there, a ton there. And then it was neat to see Griff Halloran for the first time. He doesn't speak. Same thing with Bo Keevil, right? We actually don't, obviously we've seen him fly in his ship, but I don't think we've seen him. Maybe we have. But we see him up there in the Aces Lounge. And we learn a little bit more about Tam's background and her desire to be a pilot, an ACES pilot as well. So those are just some of my initial thoughts. There's a lot. There's way more than that. But those are just a few of them.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I do know, I will say this, I was actually second time we saw Keeble. We actually got a first glimpse of them in the Triple Dark when they were when all the aces were being scrambled because of the pirate attack.
Yeah.
They all came out of the hallway and were heading toward their racers.
Yeah. Good call.
So that was the first time we saw them. But no, absolutely. I have to say, I absolutely loved this episode. When I first saw it, I was like, this is what we've been building towards. This is what I've been waiting for. We got Kaz on his spy mission. I find it ironic after I agree with Tarkanis last week, we get a lot more Von Reg this week. So that was, I thought that was pretty stinking awesome. I mean, just everything about this episode just fired. I loved Hype Faison. He just, I mean, just the whole character, how he carried himself, the laughable arrogance. I mean, it was great. I loved it. And it's just a glimpse, I got a feeling, of what is to come as the series progresses. So, with that being said, of course, let's jump in here. Of course, this episode, basically, during power shortages, we have Kaz trying to figure out why it's going on. He gets suspicious immediately after... I just forgot the bartender's name.
Oh, Aunt Z.
Aunt Z, yeah. I was going to say Aunt K, but I knew that wasn't right. Aunt Z... says that she thinks Doza works for the First Order, so of course he's immediately on guard about it. Winds up watching the First Order arrive on the Colossus with a squad of stormtroopers and Major Von Reg. And they head up to the High Tower to meet with High Tower himself.
Yes.
Doza, Captain Doza. And of course, with the at the invite of Hype Faison, who we find out actually has been friends or a former friend of Tam, they get invited up into the tower where Kaz can actually put some spying to the ground. He actually starts actually trying to do some spying and does a okay job till he gets caught. And of course, hilarity ensues as he's chased by stormtroopers and he's jumping outside the building and narrowly escapes thanks to his skills outside. Out for a second there, I thought he had a little bit of Jedi in him the way he was jumping around. But then Tora winds up covering for him, and the stormtroopers and Von Reg leave. And at the end, we get this incredible scene with Captain Doza just kind of standing there staring at a computer monitor, focused in on probably one of the funniest photos they could have grabbed of Kaz from supposedly a security camera. And he just, the show ends with him just staring at that photo going, "Who are you?"
Nice.
So, awesome episode. Awesome episode. Let's jump right into it. Let's start off the bat with the monkey in the room there, what we've been waiting for. The First Order arrives on the Colossus. We have Von Reg show up, and of course he's there to initiate negotiations. He's not really negotiating. He's kind of backing Doza into a corner. You know, of course, we learned in the episode, the Triple Dark, where the pirates are actually being funded underground by the First Order to attack and raid the Colossus. And that way the First Order can kind of get a foothold on the Colossus. We don't know why they want the foothold, but, you know, there's obviously a reason why. So, First Order showing up. David, what were your impressions of finally seeing the First Order in Resistance on the Colossus?
Oh, I loved it. In fact, I think, you know, back before we even, you know, started all the, our recordings, I was thinking about how, you know, we'd gotten the description of these first episodes, and I'm like, wait a minute, the First Order arrives on the Colossus? It's only so many episodes in, and I, you know, Captain Phasma's going to be there, and how, you know, they've got to continue to be on the Colossus. If the First Order shows up and just takes over the Colossus, we don't have a show. And so then this makes so much more sense. It was interesting to hear what Tam had to say when her and Kaz and BB-8 are looking down as they arrive, and Tam says they had as much rights as anybody else to land here on the platform. So clearly, you know, even 6 months before The Force Awakens, they are an entity. The New Republic knows about them. Obviously, Captain Doza does. Other people know about them. But they're still not seen as this big threat. I think that's kind of, you know, right, what we see in The Force Awakens. There's Princess Leia trying to convince the New Republic what a threat they are. But they're not seen like that. I'm guessing from Captain Doza's point of view, they're a pain in his backside. But, you know, even Tam isn't, you know, saying, oh, my gosh, you know, it's the end of the world now. I mean, they're landing here just like anybody else. So, but I love seeing them come on and then, you know, following up with this whole behind-the-scenes plan of, well, let's send pirates there, and then we'll come and talk to them and say, hey, we can help protect you from the pirates. And so I like this. I like the development of this. I'm like you. I enjoyed this more than even the past two episodes. So, in particular because of that and seeing Major Von Rigg again.
No, definitely. It was definitely great to see Von Rigg. And this is seeing the First Order was something I had been waiting for, to show up in the series. Cause I knew once they started showing up on the Colossus, things would pick up and it didn't fail. Von Rigg's outfit, his uniform is just, I mean, it's gorgeous. I love the bright red. I love the modified helmet, TIE fighter helmet that he has. You could tell he's definitely a special pilot. I love how they put it in the bucket list, the extra bucket list, that he's written, when they first developed the character, he was described as kind of like the Red Baron of the First Order. And that's why they wound up with that color in his armor, which was stunning, especially next to the white-clad stormtroopers. Obviously, an animated show, it's just like in Rebels, how the stormtrooper helmets looked a little bit different than the movies. Same here with the Resistance. The First Order stormtrooper helmets have a little more distinctive look than what they had in the movies. So I found that unique. Almost looked more of a grimace. I mean, you know, the way the helmet was designed with the mask, front of the mask, it looks more like they're very grimacing. That's more just, I think, to emphasize their negativity, and that they are ultimately bad, bad people.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, Aaron, that his outfit is just incredibly awesome looking. And, you know, I thought while I was watching the episode, I thought back to the novel Captain Phasma, or Phasma it's called. But in it, you know, there's a character called Cardinal, and he's got, you know, the red crimson on. And you get a sense here that in the First Order that there are a few of these people who have, you know, more special designations, not to a Captain Phasma level, but, you know, obviously below her, but they're right there. Obviously we'll learn more about this Commander Pyre, who's got gold. I don't know if that's just below red or where that is, but yeah, it's the animation really makes these uniforms just, what do we call it, pop? They just pop off the screen.
Oh, absolutely. I honestly cannot wait to get a figure of this guy. I want that action figure. which I know the Resistance figures are coming spring of next year. I'm looking forward to that. But Von Ragman, that just, it's incredible, incredible character. And he does his best. I mean, he's there to, he's obviously in a position of authority. I mean, normally when you see pilots, all the pilots we've seen through, even through the Imperial pilots through the movies, the original trilogy, we never saw a pilot in a position of authority. This guy obviously has a lot of authority. He's a point person, obviously, for the First Order in this mission for the Colossus, because he's reporting to Phasma. I mean, as you saw in the last episode, in the Triple Dark episode, he's the one dressing down the pirates after their failed attack on the Colossus. He's the one dressing them down, and Phasma eventually comes in and continues to belittle them. But he obviously has got some stature in the First Order, which I absolutely love. So I'm very interested to see how he develops further going forward. With that, of course, you know, we see him in action in this movie, in this episode. I would love to see him in the movie. Who knows? We may see him in episode 9. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be cool? So who knows? But Von Reck, I mean, is on a mission in this episode. He meets with Captain Doza. And that was quite an interesting meeting. What were your thoughts on his, quote-unquote, negotiations with Doza?
Yeah, it was interesting when Doza says to them, you know, I could report this to the New Republic, and obviously Von Reck's immediate responses is, as we could, you know, report you to the New Republic as well for dealing with the underworld. I mentioned that just a few minutes ago. I'm curious to see what this is. Obviously, even on Z, you know, at the start of the episode, the people don't fully know, you know, what this Captain Doza is all about. You know, these are people that work on the Colossus, but there's this view of him as what? Being distant. Obviously, in an ivory tower, right? That's the classic thing in academia, right? I lived in academia for a long period of time, and that's been the view that, you know, they're not in touch with the normal, regular people. And so clearly there's, you know, some stuff that people, you know, they just don't know what's going on. Obviously, people know that the First Order comes in, that he's dealing with them. And clearly, Von Reck knows he's dealing with the underworld. Now, again, maybe all this is going to come out that he does this just because, you know, he doesn't have an option. You know, he's got these ace pilots, but it doesn't appear to have a standing army, you know, to deal with some of these threats. But again, little nuggets that they put out there. And so now, obviously, I want to know more about his dealings with the underworld. What does that all entail? But Doza does present himself as he's not going to cave easy. He's a tough cookie too. A lot there and they lay the trail to get us interested in the next episodes here to see what happens.
Oh, they definitely do. Doza is going to be a tough cookie to crack, but you know, he even says, if you think you're going to buy me off with one shipment, you got something coming. It's going to take a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out a lot of his dealings with the underworld have to do with trying to keep the station fueled and powered up. Because as we see in this episode, they're in a power crisis. They cut power for 100 hours to conserve it. You know, I grew up. I mean, if you for those of you that don't know, I grew up overseas. I grew up in the country of Uruguay. As I was growing up, my parents were missionaries. That's where I lived for years. And when we first got down there, there were scheduled power outages just to conserve, you know, fuel. Every week, every Monday, I think it was every Monday and Thursday, at about 7 o'clock p.m., our power went out till about midnight. like clockwork. So, I mean, it was scheduled. And these were pre-planned power outages by the government to preserve the fuel. And, you know, I'll tell you this. It was probably some of the funnest times I've ever had, because that was our family game nights at that point. So, you know, we had a blast growing, great memories growing up. But I can see that type of, we see that happening on the station. I mean, we see the power being cut off. Dozo makes the announcement, we're to serve energy, we're cutting power for 100 hours. So all the work is pretty much shutting down. That's what everybody winds up going to Z. Now, obviously, he does have the weight of the world. You could tell he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders. But he carries himself with dignity and strength. But like at the end of Fuel for Fire, we can see him just staring down from the tower through the window, just staring down at, and Yeager, of course, is looking up at him. So we know he's on top of things. But from this, I mean, when we first get a real glimpse of him, Von Reg is sitting in his office. He's got his back to Von Reg, and you can just see him. His head is down. He's like, he's trying to compose himself before turning around. He's like, well, what do you really want here?
Mm-hmm.
There's more than what you're telling. He's calling him out. He's like, I know there's more than what you're telling me. What do you want?
Yeah. Well, I think going back to the episode with the pirates, the Triple Dark, you know, at the very end, they said, you know, Captain Dozo will be begging, you know, for you guys to take over the Colossus. And I think, like you said, the way that Dozo can be a good guy here is that he deals with the underworld. He deals with people to keep this place powered up, to keep people employed, to keep the whole process going. And so then maybe it's not so much, you know, he could tell his daughter, you know, Tora, you know, I did this for you. I did it for everybody on the platform here so that this whole process will continue to work and move forward. But it'll be interesting. You know, you can even foresee, a morality issue coming up and another learning thing, you know, what, you know, him talking to her in the episodes to come about why he did what he did, you know, to try to do the right thing. It's hard to do the right thing, but there's a lot there that can be used by Justin Ridge and the other creatives there to tell stories, but also to teach some good lessons to kids.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, definitely there is. I mean, that's one of the great thing about this series, especially with the focus on children, that's their target audience, is they have these lessons built in. Going back to Dozo for a second, you know, I can almost see it coming, you know, with the way the Colossus, the information we've gotten on the Colossus so far, you can tell it's from what I'm understanding, and you can correct me if you've got it different, they're really not part of the New Republic. They're not really part of the First Order. They're just kind of there on the border, per se, just a remote outpost. So, you know, they could report to the First Order, or to the Republic if they needed to, if they wanted just to report, but they're really on their own. And you're right. I think a lot of these dealings, especially Von Reich's threat about the, black market, is definitely going to wind up being fuel supplies to keep the Republic out, to keep the First Order out, to keep it independent. So there's not that. So if, because I think he's smart enough to know eventually this is going to come to blows between the Republic and the First Order. Leia saw it. Everybody in the Resistance saw it. People do see that, even though the Republic is blind to it. And there's probably people in the Republic that see it that just don't have a large enough voice to make an impact. But he's probably smart enough to know that it's going to come to blows between the two, and that his best place is to stay neutral. And his only way to do that is to use the black market.
Well, right. And we saw a lot of Clone Wars episodes where different planets wanted to stay neutral. But you'd see, you know, Dooku come in, the Separatists, and the Jedi would come in, and, you know, Obi-Wan and Anakin and say, look, we know you want to stay neutral, but it's just not going to happen. And they would get squeezed, you know, I can think of several episodes, you know, where that occurred. I think of the Lerman, right? Those mm-hmm. ones on the planet, and you know, and they did not want to participate, but boy, Dooku was not going to allow that. He's forcing their hand, and so we're seeing it here. Exactly. You know, probably Doza saying, hey, you know, I'm going to do what I can to keep us out of this, because if you take either side, you're going to be in a mess. I like how you said it. It's going to come to blows.
Yeah, no, and I like how you related that back to the Clone Wars, because the whole time I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Troidaria from the Clone Wars. How the king wanted to keep him neutral for a while. They wind up going Old Republic. Going that route. But Troidaria, for the longest time, tried to stay neutral.
Yes, definitely. That whole episode, yeah. That was a great one with Yoda and Asajj Ventress and all them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And even there was another episode after that where they were trying to get supplies to a planet, and they had Bail Organa and... Was it Bail? I think it was Bail Organa and Jar Jar.
Right.
To negotiate.
And Jar Jar was
doing all the distracting while the emergency supplies are being shipped out. And then that was a great episode, too. Again, all that hinged on Troidaria being neutral.
Exactly. Right. And all the Nemoidians are looking at Jar Jar while the ships are flying behind through the you can see them on the through the viewports.
Exactly. And they're distracting the separatist envoy there.
Exactly.
So definitely there's definitely subsidiaries. And I like how they we're weaving this connection in there. It's a similar situation. Another thing I really liked about this episode is we saw him in earlier episodes, but we never really got a chance to actually hear from him. We actually got to hear and have some interaction with Hype Faison. Oh, dude, I gotta tell you, my first reaction is when Faison came on the scene. And seeing him interact and his energy level and all that, dude, I absolutely loved this character. Yes, he's arrogant. He knows he's good. He carries himself around, but he's obviously, you know, he's interacting with his fans. He's interacting with the people. So he's not all arrogant per se, but it was great to see him. And I loved how he was voiced. I loved how he carried himself. It was perfect. Walking in, he walked in, he's like, hey, you know who it is, hey, you know. Then he sits down and the droid rolls up to him, a little R2 unit, and he pats it on the back, on the dome. He's like, hey, little buddy. And it's just, he was just great. I loved it. What were your thoughts of Faison?
Yeah, you know, you and I had talked, we'd wanted to see this guy and really hear him. And then, of course, you know, seeing the clips of the voice actor and how excited he was to do it. It is interesting, like you said, with Hype Faison, he is this arrogant guy, but there's this underlying, you know, it's that subtly, I mean, because you know, it's different than, say, Jace Ruckland, who just is kind of like, he thinks he's pretty cool. He looks like the bad guy. And of course, he ends up being the bad guy and throws Kaz under the bus and risks Kaz's life. But Hype is this guy, he is arrogant, but there's this underlying feeling of being this good guy. That's what I'm getting. Is that he's I hope he is. I mean, obviously he can, you know, we don't know what this understanding is with Doza. We'll obviously there's another little breadcrumb that they throw out to get us interested. But that's the sense I'm getting from him, is that he, you know, obviously he wanted to get ahead in life and wanted to become an ace pilot. Tam really throws him under the bus. She's describing him as not being this nice person, but I'm getting the sense that he is. Are you feeling that too? Or
oh no, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because yes, I'm getting that feeling too. Because you know, we get this story when he first shows up in Aunt Z's, where Tam is like, you know, I used to be, Niku spills the beans, you know, that him and Tam used to be tight. Right. Tam's like, you know, yeah, we were friends, or I thought we were, and we both wanted to be aces, and he became an ace, I didn't, and when he became an ace, he just kind of forgot about me. And she's harboring a lot of resentment toward Hype because of that. And we see when they're in the bar and Kaz is talking to him, trying to kind of find out what he can about the First Order and just talking to Hype in general. We see him catch a glimpse of Tora, or not Tora, of Tam. And there, for a moment there, you kind of see his expression on his face change a little bit, almost like a blast from the past, you know, like seeing a long lost friend that you're just not, that where things didn't end well. You know, if you've ever been in the experience where you've walked into a restaurant and you're there having a good time, and all of a sudden you look up and there's your ex-girlfriend across two tables over, that kind of almost that type of awkwardness per se is kind of the vibe I was getting. But almost some regret at that point too, because we see later on he approaches Tam and Kaz to come up to the Aces lounge so they could talk, because he's like, you know, I think we need to talk. He obviously still he still cares what happens to Tam, and I think, you know, you get going in a certain lifestyle. I mean, because especially once he made an ace, he got into that lifestyle that, you know, it probably tied him up where he couldn't interact with Tam as much as he probably wanted to, and after a while you just kind of forget and just keep going. I mean, because what did they say he did? He's responsible for not only patrols, he's responsible for the races, he's responsible for basically fighting the pirates off, and also escorting shipments in. So I mean, obviously he's got a full plate, right, as all of them do. So when they aren't on, like when they're on our duty, they're probably resting up. It's like a firefighter being on for 24 hours. When they're not out doing work, and there's not a fire, there's not a call, they're in the fire station and they're resting and trying to relax. So when that call comes in, they're at their peak performance and they go.
Right.
So I think there's, I think there's a different, I'm going to say this too. I think a lot of his Hype character, the Faison, I think there's a lot of, I almost got the feeling that it might actually be like a character, a persona he plays.
Right. A front. Yeah.
Yes, a front. And he's become so wrapped up in it because of who he is and what his position. He's become so wrapped up in that persona, it's hard for him to separate the persona from the true Faison. So, and that, I think that's where a lot of his interaction struggles come with Tam. Because, you know, he has, when he invites her, he's like, you can tell he's serious. You know, I think we want to talk. I mean, you come up to the lounge, let's talk. I got the impression he really wanted to hash some stuff out. But then once he got up in the lounge, that character, that persona kind of still kicked in at that point, because he was around the other races. Kaz was there. That persona just kind of overtook. And what's he do? He makes fun of the fireball. He's kind of poking the bear, per se, with Tam, and it sets her off, and she winds up storming off and leaving. And he's like, "No, wait, no, I'm sorry, it was a joke. I didn't mean it." And but it's too late at that point. She was gone. So I think there's a persona that Hype Faison is that he's totally wrapped up in, and we have not seen the true Faison inside.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I think, in episodes to come, they'll show that, as well as, you know, tell us more about this quote unquote understanding with Captain Dozier. You know, it might have been, again, another morality issue there where he's like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I am not going to escort fuel shipments in, or, you know, or anything that's related to the First Order, maybe because of something that they've done to maybe, you know, where he's from or his family. We don't know, but that, you know, we know that they'll, you know, reveal that backstory in time. Just like in episodes to come, you and I know they're going to tell us more about Griff Halloran and Bo Keevil and stuff like that. And of course, more on Yeager.
And I can't wait for that, because this is the second episode in a row that we have had people talking about Yeager's racing skills. Hype says it here when he finds out Kaz is being trained by Yeager. He's like, yeah, Yeager's that guy can race. I mean, so he's obviously got this reputation that we're still learning. He's obviously quite a skilled. We know he was a pilot in the rebellion, so he's got to have talent. But apparently his racing skills are apparently top notch, from everything that we got from Jace Ruckland, and now from Hype Faison.
Agreed. No, I love that you said that. Both those persons do comment. I just, as you were talking too, I was thinking about, I got to go back to Shattered Empire and see if he's ever referenced in that comic. You know, that's the one that they did, four issues, and it's right at, you know, at the end of, you know, the Battle of Endor, and you see some new pilots and stuff like that. You see Poe Dameron's parents, you know, come together there. And then I started thinking, man, you know, with him being at the Battle of Jakku, I wonder, again, remember I told you, what was it, last week I was talking about Lost Stars and how, you know, Claudia Gray in there gives the description of, you know, part of that battle. Mm-hmm. And, man, I got to kind of, you know, go back through and peruse that and see if she ever makes mention, you know, just for little, you know, cross references and stuff. But I don't know. It might be. I'm sure some Star Wars fans that are even more detail oriented than me and you has already looked at this, you know. But
well, you know. I'll have to do that with you. I mean, I just bought Lost Stars. I actually found a hardcover copy of it at my local Books A Million on their clearance rack for $5.
Dude, so, that is incredible.
So I'm like, I got to grab that, and they also had Rebel Rising, so I grabbed both of those and got them sitting here under my stack of books to read. There, it's right under Thrawn Alliances. So
right,
Thrawn exactly. Alliances, and then Lost Stars, and Rebel Rising, and we'll get those read. But yeah, I mean, definitely find out more about Yeager as it goes on, because obviously he is a racer. I would like to see him race in this at some point, to see if something happens down the road where he has to step up and he has to race to save Kaz or something. If Doza finds out who he truly is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to save him, Yeager winds up in a race at that point, and we truly get to see him. That, to me, would be absolutely phenomenal.
Did we get it? Like, when you read the description of the episodes coming out in November, I was trying to remember if that fourth one in November, you read it, and I'm blocking right now as to whether Yeager gets in there and does a race. We'll have to look. Remember, yeah, Jonah Marie Macias on the Wookiee Gunner had posted, you know, brief descriptions of the next, you know, the next four Sundays.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay. What is that?
We got the Children of Tehar signal from Sector 6. Here we go. The November 25th episode, the Platform Classic. An upcoming race reunites Yeager with his estranged brother Marcus, who needs a win to pay off his debt to a criminal organization.
Oh, okay. So maybe his brother is. I wonder if he races for his brother.
Could be at that point. We could finally get to see that mysterious racer that Jace was talking about. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to that episode. I'm looking forward to all these episodes coming up. Because it's going to be a lot of fun. But we still got a lot to talk about from the Hightower. So what we're going to do real quick is take a quick break. And we will be right back with some more fun and discussion. Welcome back, everybody. Aaron and David still here talking Resistance episode, the Hightower. Glad you stuck around with us. There's so much fun stuff in this episode to discuss. And probably one of the things that generated a lot of hype on the internet and on Twitter when this episode aired was Tora Doza's bedroom, honestly. We see, actually get a glimpse in her room, and it is a plethora of Easter eggs. It's incredible the how much little detail and stuff they put in there, which I thought was absolutely awesome. We see it because Kaz winds up, when he's running from stormtroopers, ducking into the bedroom and hiding. And the whole interaction with Tora, to me, is probably one of the best interactions in the episode. I actually laughed at it because I've been in Kaz's shoes. where he walks in and she's like, "No, I know why you're here." He's like, "You do?" "Yeah, I do." He's like, "Oh." And she's like, "You know, sometimes people just mistake my friendliness for something more." And I'm sitting there going, "I've heard that before." I'm like, "I have heard that exact line. I can't tell you how many times growing up." That was very awkward in high school. I heard that a lot.
Oh, we still love you, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So, but we got a good look of half of her bedroom during this scene. And there are posters, there are dolls, there are trophies. There is so much stuff in there that honestly, it's stinking awesome. All the little Easter eggs and references and throwbacks they put in there. One of my favorites, though, is on the wall right behind when they're standing there talking, and you got that shot of them talking, and you got two posters on the back wall. What do you have there? You have a poster of Sabine Wren's Firebird right up there on the wall. I don't know about you, but when I saw that, I flipped out, David.
Not that we covered Rebels or anything, and we're very partial towards Rebels. No, these Easter eggs, we love this stuff. I love this. I wrote down every Easter egg. In fact, you know, excuse me, in Bucket's List, it's number 9. It's called Tora's Easter Egg Extravaganza, and it lists all of the Easter eggs in there. And it's interesting because when you go to the episode guide, it says it lists some of these, you know, it shows that scene and it says, well, there's much more on the other side of a room. Well, when you go from within the episode guide where it shows you, you know, the different, you know, 10 different screenshots, it also has a concept gallery. Well, in the concept gallery, it gives you the opposite side of her room, and I'm sure you looked at that as well. And I wrote down those things as well. But they don't show the other side of the room in the episode, but in the episode guide, you can see, you know, all the other Easter eggs on the other side of her room, and they're fun. Do we want to list off them? You want to list some of them off, or
let's go for it.
Okay.
Of course, we got Sabine Wren's Firebird poster. Like I said, I love the fact we have the Stormtrooper doll up there. Yeah. We had the Skyhopper, the T-16 Skyhopper, up there. Now, what I found extremely ironic is especially something I saw online after this show aired. There's a doll that's sitting right next to the Stormtrooper. A really cool looking doll. According to the episode guide, that's actually Boosh. The bounty hunter. What was funny though is I saw online somebody thought it was Constable Zuvio. I could see the resemblance there, absolutely, because you don't have the detailed face to tell that it's Bosch. It's a plain face. You don't have the you can't tell the helmet details. So I could very easily could have mistaken that for Zuvio.
Definitely.
What else did you see in there, David?
Oh yeah, we see the Ewok. You know, that's right at her feet. That was really cool. The blue Ortolan, and that, you know, that's why I had my visual encyclopedia out again before you and I started recording. That's Max Rebo. You know, that's his species. Mm-hmm. And so you see that up there, you know, kind of near the Stormtrooper and Boosh action figures. We see a Kintan Strider doll, which is apparently a piece on the Jerrick table. Now, I can't quite in my mind picture which one it is, you know, kind of matching those up. They, of course, got that one of the posters, like you said, when you see Sabine's, you also see the Boonta Eve pod race poster. That was really neat how they drew that. Like you said, the T-16 model. Oh, there's also a Bantha doll and a Tuca doll also up there, and I did see those once I looked a little more closely. Of course, we saw Tukas in what? First in the Clone Wars, mm-hmm. I believe, you know. So that was pretty cool. If you go to the other side, you know, but that's only if you go into the episode guide. And of course, you and I are big fans of that. Yeah. On the other side of her room, what's really kind of funny is there's a Tauntaun, you know, a stuffed Tauntaun. And there's also a Puffer Pig on the floor. Puffer Pig. So that was really cool to see that. And then up on her wall, she has a number of different models up there. Excuse me. Several of them are pod racers from the pod race. And even one is a TIE Interceptor, it looks like. So because they kind of give you a pullout of what some of those are up there. And so those are the things that, you know, I saw on that side of the room, on the opposite side, that they didn't show. They didn't show the Puffer Pig or the Tauntaun, I don't believe, in the episode.
Yeah, they didn't show those models either. I just, honestly, yeah. The concept art gallery is the gallery I did not look at. So this is all new to me as I'm looking at it. It looks like there was an X-Wing model. Pod racer, yeah, that's a TIE Interceptor.
Yeah.
That is stinking awesome.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The hollow table right in the middle of the room, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Well, that is a lot of fun. It really is an Easter egg extravaganza.
Did we mention the big guy sitting right there on the shelf above the bed? The Ewok?
Yeah, the Ewok. I mentioned to you, right at her feet. Yeah, you know, that.
Right at her feet.
Yep. The Ewok with a green kind of hoodie. Yeah.
Yes. So, absolutely. I can't wait to see what else they add to, as they finally expand the rest of the room out. It's going to be so much fun to see how that goes.
And I'd be curious, Aaron, what the other ones look like. What does Hypes look like? What does Griff Halloran's look like? Bo-Kevo, you know, will they do that? Maybe not. But it might, you know, really, you know, there's so many more opportunities for Easter eggs throughout those places as well. But that was a lot of fun seeing that.
Yes, yeah. It really was. I thoroughly enjoyed that there. And And she actually played an important role in this episode because she actually winds up saving Cass from continuing to be hunted by the First Order when she kind of sticks up for him, and she's there with her dad, Captain Doza, as he tries to find out why Von Rex troopers are shooting up the Colossus. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, we got a spy. And she's like, no, that's not a spy. That was my friend.
Yeah, exactly. She's good.
Yeah. I mean, she realized he was in trouble and stood up for him, knowing that it wasn't... she definitely spun a yarn. He's like, no, she was visiting me. He probably just got lost trying to leave because he hadn't been up here before. And, you know, it's good for her standing up for him, but I'd like to see where that leads in their next encounter as to, like, you know, what I had to do for you. I had to stick up for you. So you weren't in trouble. But it also, I think, raised a flag in her dad's eyes as well to what is this guy really up to? If he was... First Order was shooting at him, was he really spying? Who is this guy? He says it right there at the end. Who are you?
Yeah, I like how he says it.
So I think her, even though she saved him at that one point, I think there's going to be more trouble for him in the future with the captain as time goes on, as he tries to figure out who he is and what he's truly doing there.
Oh. Agreed. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see their interplay because he's more serious and see if Kaz can mature a little bit and actually talk and, you know, just say I'm a mechanic here. But we'll see how good he does.
Oh no, we'll have to see how good he does. I mean, he's really going to have to step up his mechanic skills as time goes on. And I loved how the episode ended. He went when Kaz finally reaches back to the hangar bay and kind of collapses on the bed, and Tam's like, where have you been? And he's like, oh, I kind of got lost and wound up somewhere I shouldn't have been, and yeah, so I'm glad to be home.
Yeah, and then she drops the wrench on him.
Yeah, well, time to get to work. Boom. Exactly. that was perfect. You see, that's more of that brotherly, sisterly relationship there. Which I'm it's going to be fun to see develop too as time goes on.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I mean, anything else you wanted to hit on for this episode, David?
I didn't. I just got some final thoughts, and you know, I'll save those for then. But in terms of the plot and Captain Doza, the introduction of Hype Faison, and then all the Easter eggs, that's, those are the things I was hoping we would cover.
Oh, perfect. And we do have, Niku did play some part in here. Not as big of a part as he has in the last several episodes when it comes to involving Kaz's storyline. I liked how they involved Tam more in his story in this episode. But Niku did have his fun spots, like when Kaz is like, they're watching this First Order land, and Kaz is like, I really would like to know why those guys are here. So what does he do? Niku runs off, finds the First Order, and goes, "Hello there, my friend would like to know why you're here."
Right.
Right. He has his fun stuff in this episode. His laugh is hysterical.
Yeah.
In this episode when he's going through at the beginning, and they're talking about the little communicators that they got to communicate back and forth. I thought that was great. But none of those made the Niku saying of the week. We have that for you. The Niku saying of the week is more than just a saying this week. It's more of a conversation he has with Kaz. So check that out.
We need to get into that tower and see what's up, BB-8.
The tower is up.
What?
The tower.
What about it?
Is up. The tower is up.
I know.
Then why did you ask?
Hype Faison?
Is up?
Is here!
The literalness of this character is just so much fun. Thoughts on our saying of the week, David?
Yes, I meant to bring home, because I always try to, I try to put a little psychology tidbit in each week. I did want to speak a little bit about his literalness, but I wanted to read to people, a few of the items from, well, it's changed over the years, the diagnosis of Asperger's. I've heard some people online talking about this. Some people really like the representation and how he is a fun person and he has a good life. I've worked with a number of clients with Asperger's. The name has changed recently to autism spectrum disorder, and there's this whole spectrum from fully what we would consider autistic kids who do not look people in the eye, they do not like to be touched, to the other end, which is more persons who have normal IQs, but their ability to read social cues is very poor. And they're a lot of times quite literal. But I did just want to briefly touch on that like I did just there. But maybe next week or the week after, I'll have that and just kind of share a little psychology tidbit there. But had you heard any of that online? Anybody talking about that?
I've seen a little bit. As it's gone on, I haven't really thought much about it because we all know how literally is. I just took it more of a species thing.
There you go.
So, but who knows? I would love to hear your thoughts on that when you get that book together, and definitely it's something we could touch on in the future. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So that was our Niku saying of the week, Niku saying of the episode. So awesome. Now it's time for my personal favorite time of the show, our new segment, David's Alien Corner. I will have to get some kind of ditty or something written up for that.
Well, last week was awesome because I think you didn't have any idea. I just, as you were setting the whole thing up, I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. And there's like just one new one. The first two episodes, the first two Sundays, there was tons of new ones introduced. And then last week, there was just the Sulliston. This week, there's also one new one. If you just count people, or creatures, aliens that we see moving and interacting. And the one that we see is kind of towards the beginning of the episode, as Kaz and BB-8 are coming out to the Kaz and BB-8 and Tam are out on the platform, and they see an Ugnaught walk by. And when I first looked at him, I thought, gosh, he kind of looks like the character model for a Shatterfan, right? That, which is Orca. And I had to keep looking at him. But then, of course, when I looked at the credits at the end, one of our favorite voice actors, Dee Bradley Baker, does the voice of that Ugnaught. So I'm like, all right, there it is. He's an Ugnaught. And I just wrote down quickly that, they bring back the Godel, the guy with kind of the horns on the top of his head. He does kind of look like a goat. We see Rodians. Krolud is obviously Aunt Z. And then we actually hear that Thielen talk, that pink Thielen. When they're betting on whether Kaz is going to survive or not. But what's kind of interesting is, they really do introduce tons and tons of other creatures, but they're not animated, right? You and I talked about the Ewok. We talked about the Ortolan, the Kintan Strider doll, Bantha doll, a Tuca doll. What else? We've got... what else did I have? Oh, a Tauntaun and a Puffer Pig. So, I didn't want to count those in this alien section because they're not, animated like all these other ones were. But I thought it was kind of neat that we ended up seeing a lot. Oh, and one other one. We see a Kowakian monkey lizard on the wall inside of Aunt Z's tavern. And so we know those from, Silicious Crumb by Jabba and trying to remember the one, if he has a name. Yeah, they do. The one that Hondo has. And so So tons of other creatures, but just not animated. So there's your alien corner.
All right, so we officially have one from this episode that we're adding to the list. So that brings us, if I remember correctly from last week, our overall alien species count goes to 22.
That's what I believe, yep.
Perfect. 22 alien species so far in Star Wars Resistance. Love this show. It's really expanding out the universe of the Star Wars universe.
That's right.
Oh, yes. One of those days. So that, with that, it wraps up our discussion of the High Tower. Perfect. Let's go ahead and go into final thoughts. David, go ahead, my friend. Let's start with you. What are your final thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I just had three. First thing is obviously, as we've talked about, they have stuff for children. They have stuff for us adults. And for me, I love that they reveal more about Hype, Faison, about Tam, Captain Doza, and Yeager. I'm loving that. And again, I've mentioned it in previous episodes. I care about these characters. I want to learn more about them. I'm enjoying it versus saying, I don't care about these characters and I don't want to learn more about them. I know some people in the Star Wars community are feeling that way and it's just not their cup of tea. Well, for me, I'm really enjoying it and I want to continue to learn more. So this episode really gave me a lot of what I was looking for. The next one, I put a question mark. Is Kaz improving as a spy? It feels like it a bit. You know, using the little communicators that him and Nico were using, I thought that was kind of neat, and how that pushed the plot forward and how it was making noise. And then obviously the First Order troopers saw him and Von Reg orders him to chase after him. And so, you know, again, you and I have talked about this. We have anticipated that they're going to show Kaz improving as a spy. You'd mentioned how he escapes. He's pretty athletic, and he's fortunate he is. But my last statement, last week, I loved O.P. Pitt. We love O.P. Pitt. And in my last final thought is another one that hopefully is kind of funny. I don't think the First Order troopers are any better shot than the original the trilogy troopers. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You know, do we credit Kaz or are they just as bad? You know, so I just thought, oh my gosh, this is just classic Star Wars where the guys in white can't hit anything. So,
which is crazy because in the movies they were great shots.
Right. Yeah, they are. Yeah. And, you know, and of course, I remember the one guy who battles Finn with that one.
The stun baton.
Exactly. You know, that was a neat battle. And so really in that, you know, these First Order troopers looked much more, much sharper. But in this one, I was totally thinking about original trilogy stormtroopers. So I got a kick out of that.
Oh, no, definitely. I can understand that. Yeah, overall, I absolutely loved this episode. You brought up the fact that is Kaz becoming a better spy. I wouldn't say he became a better spy in this episode. I just think he spied.
He stumbled through it, right?
He definitely stumbled through it. Got his information and survived. You know, that's a good day by anybody's standards. I love the fact that a week after saying I need more Von Reg and more First Order, we get a ton of First Order. So I'm going to say it again. I want more First Order. So I'm putting my order in now. And I'll take it with a side of fries. But this was, to me, the episode that we needed. We got a lot of baseline stuff through the first several episodes, just setting a baseline as to who's there, what's going on. There's more to it than just the racing. There's extra things going on, but we never really got into the spy storyline until this episode. And I think it could not have come at a better time. I spent part of my day today in a Facebook group that I'm in. Of course, it's on Facebook. It's a Facebook group, duh. sorry. But in this group, and somebody was, one of the admins of this group posted the poster of the Resistance and was like, is anybody actually watching this show? And there were, by the time I saw it, there were a whole bunch of answers, some positive, some negative, some like, you know, I'd like to, but I don't have Disney, so on and so forth. Throughout the episode, or throughout the feed, and I'm like, finally, I had to hop in. And I'm like, yeah, I'm watching it. And one person had posted, like, you know, I really would like to watch it, but you know, I'm hearing all this stuff about the first episodes, and I replied to him, and we had a nice conversation, and I leveled with him. I mean, first couple episodes, it's a baseline, you know. They're setting a standard of and introducing you to characters, introducing you to locations and what's going on, what the everyday life is like, without covering the spy mission. Whereas this episode really kicked it up a notch and took it to a different playing level, which is what this series needed. There was a lot of people in there that, as I kept reading through the comments, are like, you know, I didn't like the first couple of those, but this episode was awesome. Even one of my friends who was like, you know, I didn't like the first episode, but this was a really good episode. It was really entertaining. And it really was. It was really entertaining. And I'm excited to see how they continue to progress this forward. And I hope this doesn't all of a sudden become a one and done, and we're back to some of the lower themed episodes that, like we got at the beginning. I hope we can build off of this and keep going. And just going through the descriptions of the upcoming episodes for November, I think that's what they're going to do. So overall, I absolutely loved this episode. To me, it just couldn't have been more perfect. Matter of fact, when it comes to grading it, as we grade every episode, I'm actually going to give this episode an A, because it did no wrong. It hit, fired on every cylinder. It was perfect. It is as close to perfect as it can get. It gave us First Order. It gave us action. It gave us comedy. It gave us mystery. It introduced us to characters that we wanted to see. It gave us questions that needed to be answered. It continued the Yeager mystery. To me, it was just perfect. So I have to give it an A. David, how about you, my friend? How would you grade The Hightower?
Oh, definitely. I knew I was going to grade this an A, you know, from the first time I saw it. Definitely, I felt a higher level than the last two. I gave the last two a B+. And this is, I think it's a better episode. Like you said, once it kicks in more of the spy stuff, it leaves a lot of breadcrumbs, which are great, because now it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Kaz does and his relationship with Captain Doza, how that progresses. And so, yes, it had stuff that I wanted. I wanted the First Order in there, more of Major Von Reg. You know, learning more about these characters, and that's what we want. I mean, it has the humor and the slapstick stuff for the kids, and like I said, it pushed forward with the story, this whole spy mission that we're trying to figure out what's going on and who is the spy for the First Order in there. So yeah, easily an A. I do think that we will get an A+ episode or two, just like we had in Rebels. You know, those are reserved for the mind-blowing episodes that you and I have talked about before. But this one, definitely solid A.
Oh, definitely solid A. So, yeah, I mean, eventually I'm sure we will get to that A+ level, but we're not quite there yet. This was definitely an A episode. I loved it. And this is one I will go back to. It's to date, it's my favorite episode, but I got a feeling when it comes down to it, by the end of the season, it will still be one of my top five episodes of the season, and going forward. So definitely a lot of fun, great episode. With that, not very busy in our inboxes this week. Matter of fact, we only got two emails. And David, can you guess who they're from?
I could imagine that they're from the two individuals who they will, I've said it before on Twitter, they will not miss an opportunity to write in.
They won't.
No.
The first one here, of course, is from our friend, Corporal Flux.
Right.
Corporal Flux says, I'm writing to voice my displeasure at how they portrayed my First Order stormtroopers in this episode. Just because stormtroopers during the time of the Empire couldn't hit anything doesn't mean my highly trained soldiers can't. I'm very upset with Lucasfilm. They haven't heard the last of me. Right. I think you brought that up earlier in the discussion.
That's right.
The movies, they were doing really good, and in this episode, they couldn't stun Kaz from 3 feet away.
Wow.
So the second email, this one worries me a bit. I think I need to change our password on our Twitter.
Okay.
I think we've been hacked.
Okay.
Because this one says, so it reads, and I'll just read it, and you'll understand why in a moment. So I have caught wind of Corporal Flux's comments about my stormtroopers. I mean, Will of Tarkin's stormtroopers. Usually I'm tormenting you, Aaron and David. Today I will destroy Corporal Flux's Starkiller base right. with my Death Star. I mean, Will of Tarkin's Death Star. Tarkanis out. How would he know that he commented on the stormtroopers if I hadn't read the email yet?
Well, the plot thickens for us too, not just in Resistance, but for us as well. Remember last week I was asking Shay if she has anybody calling in and tormenting her on her podcast. She goes, no, I don't have this problem. And so if she's listening, we can just let her know that we're having even more problems with these two. I don't see it ending anytime soon unless we just block them from, you know, and we don't read and encourage their shenanigans here, but they're getting into all-out destruction of Death Stars and Starkiller bases. So, I don't know, they might calm down a bit here and become friends again, but they're a little heated right now at each other.
All right, just completely off-the-cuff random question, David. Who would win, Death Star, Starkiller base?
I was thinking Starkiller base because they can shoot that stuff through hyperspace. They could hit the Death Star before it even got anywhere close to Starkiller base, I would think. And, of course, we saw in The Force Awakens it blow up multiple planets in one shot. But I don't know. Maybe Tarkin would say Death Star was more elusive, more maneuverable, and would win. Of course, Tarkin would say that. But, yeah.
Well, I actually would say it. I'm actually going to say the Death Star. Here's why. How long did it take for Starkiller base to power up to make that shot? Death Star could jump in and fire and destroy Starkiller base before they could even start charging that weapon.
We got a good argument going here, you know. Starkiller base versus, yeah, there's strengths on both sides. You might be right, though. I think the Death Star might be able to be quick and powerful, come in and get it. But if the Starkiller base is charged, I don't think the Death Star can beat it, buddy.
Depends if the Death Star's in hyperspace or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Does Starkiller base travel?
I don't know.
I think I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about this because I was like, does that thing, it's a whole planet. Does it have the hyperspace capabilities that the Death Star does?
You know, I think I may have been listening to the same one because I remember somebody on another podcast I was listening to discussing that and them saying something about on the backside of the planet that we don't see there's actually engines to power it. And move it around.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of would have to be, because if it It's sucking the life of a star.
Right.
To power the weapon. If you use the star up in your solar system, you gotta move it to power up again.
Yeah.
Those are for minds greater than mine.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Above my pay grade. Yes.
Definitely above my pay grade.
That is literally mind numbing to think about some of this stuff. But kind of cool that Corporal Flux and Willard Tarkanis, I like I've said every time, I don't think we've heard the last of them. They're always kind of bent out of shape, which is always kind of fun. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So with that, we're wrapping up our emails.
But how are we going to communicate at any given moment, Kaz?
That's a good question, Niku. David, if somebody wants to communicate with you, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, yeah. Two different ways. One's on Twitter, and the way to get a hold of me on Twitter is David_Motters. It's been the same the entire time. And then, of course, email is dmotters@coffeewithkenobi.com.
Perfect, perfect. And of course, for me, if you want to get in touch with me, the best way, of course, is via Twitter. My personal Twitter is TAHarris121079. Definitely make sure you check out our Twitter account @ResistanceReaction. Actually, it's @ResistReactions on Twitter. Excuse me. @ResistReactions to follow all the latest news from the show. We post stuff there. I try to post stuff there several times a day. As stuff comes out or as discussion topics come up, we try to post as much as possible through there. We're also on Facebook. Just search up Resistance Reactions. You'll find us there as well. So follow us there. Definitely a lot of fun things going on. If you want to email us, you can email us your thoughts and feedbacks about this episode that you just finished listening to resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Why do I always go into that deep Kenobi voice when I say that?
I love it.
I've done that for you. Even on Rebels Reactions, I did that. Don't know why. It just happens. Whenever I have to say coffee with Kenobi, I don't know why. Anywho, in the meantime, if you want to check out some more of our Coffee with Kenobi family of podcasts, definitely check it out. Dan Z hosts our flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi. We have, if you like the Legends series of books, the Expanded Universe, check out Legends Library with Luke and Randy. They do a great job reviewing those books. The day we're recording this, which of course is October 30th, the day before Halloween, it looks like we had a brand new episode of Lattes with Leia released. So make sure you check that out with Amy and Andrea. Great, great show. Everything from a fangirl perspective. They always have the best discussions. Absolutely love it. Then, of course, if you are a comic fan, or if you were like me, you didn't really care about comics, so you started listening to these guys, check out Matt and Jeff on Comics with Kenobi as they review review the comics that are released and let you know what comics are upcoming, and they get some awesome interviews too from some of the creators behind these Star Wars comics. So definitely check those out. A lot of fun to be had there. David, my friend, it's been a blast as always.
Absolutely, buddy. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. The High Tower was a fun episode to discuss. I'm glad we got the chance to. Just wait till our next episode, which will be coming up next week, as we'll be discussing. It's been actually the first episode of November. How about that, man? We're already going to be in November. But we'll be discussing that next episode, which of course will be entitled The Children from Teha. The Children from Teha. So look forward to that one next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Remember, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.